The Holy Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You were right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the gospel reading for today is a famous reading in which Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. What I'd like to do is I'd like to provide a little context for the reading and then, as always, talk about what it might mean for us today. And I'll start with two facts about the reading that I at least think are interesting and worth considering. The first is that this encounter is the longest conversation Jesus has with anyone in any of the four gospels. The second point is that in the Gospel of John, which is preoccupied in a very important way with the identity of Jesus, this is the only place where Jesus actually discloses his identity to another individual. And those two facts alone are sort of a mini sermon in themselves. Longest conversation Jesus has, the only person in the Gospel of John he discloses his identity to, and it's to a woman and a Samaritan, an outsider. And so that by itself tells us something very important about the gospel message, that it expands outward, right? Eventually Paul will talk about how there's no longer slave nor free, nor man nor woman, nor Greek nor Jew, but the gospel encompasses all of us, right? So those are a couple of points. Another contextual bit of information that I think is interesting, again, is that the Gospel of John is sort of set up in a way from the very beginning that emphasizes witness and testimony, okay? First chapter of John, the famous towering poetry of the prologue of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And very quickly, by verse 6 in that prologue, we get this: "There was a man sent from God whose name was John," John the Baptist. And then hear this words, these from chapter or verse 7. "He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light." So right at the very beginning, there's this idea of John coming to witness or to testify to Jesus. Later, that theme of witness and testimony is reinforced in chapter 15, where Jesus is speaking. He says, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, he will," again, "testify on my behalf." And then he says to his disciples, his followers, "You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning." So again, this idea of testimony or witness is important. And today's gospel, the woman at the well, comes in a sequence of stories we hear this Lent about different people who do that, who witness or who testify to Jesus, right? So last week we heard about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a very important character in John. That was the first encounter with Jesus last week. And then there are a couple of others where Nicodemus becomes more and more convinced about who Jesus is. This week, the witness is this woman at the well. Next week, it'll be a man who's blind, who's healed. And then finally, 2 weeks from now, it's Lazarus. Okay, so each of those in different ways, John reports on as witnessing to who Jesus is. So that's the context. Now, let's talk a little bit about, well, what does that look like in today's reading for this woman at the well to witness? And what I'll start with is the way that I think most people think about her act of witness or testimony. I think most people assume, well, you know, and one of the many facts that comes out in this very long reading is that she had five husbands. And so an interpretive framework has come up around her that's very judgmental. Last night, actually, we sang a hymn right before the sermon. The second verse begins with these words: "Recall the outcast woman. Recall the outcast woman." That's the woman at the well. And the implication is that she did something wrong. She's in need of judgment, but thankfully Jesus comes and he sits with her and he forgives her. And then she goes off and witnesses to how she has been freed and forgiven, okay? I want to be very clear about this. There is nothing in this passage and nothing Jesus says that suggests this woman is in need of judgment. Nothing at all. Yes, she had five husbands, but it's very likely that those husbands all died, right? So this idea of her needing judgment, Jesus forgiving her, I think is a bad framework to think about this encounter. What's a better one? And here I'm going to point to the thinking of a very important theologian who's still living today. His name is Richard Rohr. He's a writer, a spiritual director, a spiritual guide, Franciscan priest. And he was asked recently, you know, how he's 80-something years old, so he's been around a long time. And someone asked him on a podcast, how would you summarize your thinking, your writing? And here's what he said. He said, you know, for 2,000 years, I think Christians have gotten caught up in the judgment lane, which ends up going in one of two directions, either reward or punishment, right? And if we approach this reading of the woman at the well from the judgment lane, then again, we think, well, she deserves punishment, but she gets a reward because of Jesus, okay? Richard Rohr says, I don't really think that's particularly helpful. And what I like a lot better is if we stay in the Jesus lane, which is a lane of healing and our eternal or everlasting need of healing for each of us, right? And one of the things when we think about that it moves us as we read this story from a posture of judgment. Oh, well, the woman was bad. She deserves judgment. But thankfully, Jesus helped her. To a posture of sympathy. Oh, she was in need of healing. And I might be also in need of healing. Why would she be in need of healing? And you know, the whole, many people think she was an outcast in part because she was at the well at noon, all by herself. But there are plenty of stories of people from the Old Testament, matriarchs, important people who were at wells at noon, and they weren't being outcast. So I don't think she was an outcast with her community. I think she was just someone who had a really hard life, to whom tragic things, hard things had happened. She was filled with grief. And if any of you have had experiences where you have difficult challenges, where you have grief, you may have experienced other people not knowing quite what to do or say, saying things that they think are helpful but actually are kind of hurtful, people who are unwilling to enter into your story. Does that make sense to y'all? And so this woman has had, she's lost five husbands, and I don't think her community knows quite what to do, and so she feels what? Lonely, isolated, misunderstood, sad. And what happens? Jesus comes to her, and he sees her. He listens to her story. He acknowledges her pain. And in that encounter, in that conversation with Jesus, she experiences the kind of healing that Richard Rohr says all of us are in need of. Does that make sense? And so then how does that translate into her witnessing or testifying to Jesus? I love this part of the passage because, you know, we think of witnessing or testifying to Jesus and we kind of think of, well, I guess I'm supposed to go up and down the street and knock on doors and tell people all about Jesus. Not a good strategy, by the way. What does she do? And I think we assume that we need to have all the answers and understand everything. Not true also. What does she do? After this encounter with Jesus where she is healed, where she experiences being seen, we're told she leaves the well and she goes back to her comrades in her community and she says this, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done," which is another way of saying, come and see a man who saw me. Come and see a man who understood me. Come and see a man who recognized me for what I am and sat with me in my pain and my grief and my sadness. And then, what does she say? She said, this is her witness. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Question mark? That's it. She doesn't twist arm. She doesn't say, I know who this is. You have to come and see. No, she says, here's what I experienced. Come and see. Maybe he's the Messiah. You'll have to decide for yourself. We're told many Samaritans from that city believed in him, believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. And then he sticks around actually for 2 days, and we're told, and many more believed because of his word. I mentioned earlier that chapter 15 about testifying or witnessing, and we're reminded there, you also are to testify for Jesus. Friends, that means all of you. What does that mean in your life? What it doesn't mean is needing to have all the answers, understand everything about Jesus, you know, force people to believe in him. What it means is to model your testimony, your witness on what this woman did, which is to share with people what you yourself have experienced. So one thing you need to do, we all need to do, is attend to what is it that we do experience here. And I can't answer that for you, but I know that people who come to places like this experience things like joy, peace, community, forgiveness, truth, beauty, reconciliation, all of those things. And if that's the kind of thing you've experienced or something like it, then what you're invited to do, what you're called to do, what you're challenged to do, is go from this place and say to others, here's what I've experienced at a place like this. You, come and see. Let's pray. Good and loving God, we are invited here to receive the living water of your love and your grace and your healing. We pray that you will help us to receive that gift with gratefulness, and then, just as importantly, to share it with those in need. And all this we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.